We're going to a very familiar passage of scripture. Let me tell you this. But one of the things one of the missions I'm on is I'm on a mission to rid ourselves of biblical illiteracy, because we love scripture and we love quoting scripture and we love it. And we love using scripture in an anecdotal way. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We say that. And we got to be careful, as I've said before, that we don't divorce a scripture from its context. Otherwise, we may be quoting something that does not apply contextually. Are you understanding this? Contextually, like for instance, I'll just give you an example. How many of you have heard or seen it on a bumper sticker or said it yourself or seen it on a t-shirt that, you know, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength? Say amen. Raise your hand if you've done that, said that, right? I can do all things. Yeah, you wear it on your shirt and everything. But that's not talking about the ability to achieve. That's not talking about the ability to really do something that's noteworthy. The context of that scripture in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 is a context of contentment. Paul is saying, I can be content. And we use it for everything but contentment. So what I'm after this morning is I'm after taking scriptures that we have familiarized ourselves with and snatched them out of their context and reintroducing understanding to those scriptures so that we're just not blurting out scriptures like old wives' tales and we understand the context that the scriptures belong to. Are you understanding this? This is one of those scriptures that you might hear quite often. Jeremiah chapter 29. And verse number 11. And this is God talking through the prophet Jeremiah. It simply says this. And I'm reading out of the New American Standard Bible. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. How many of you have ever heard that? You know it, right? I see it on Facebook. I see it on t-shirts. I see it on Instagram. I see it on bumper stickers. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God is thinking about you. And now those of you that didn't participate for some reason and dropped the course before you started it, please take this makeup course. Turn to somebody who's really there, really visible in the flesh, and tell them God is thinking about you. Oh, my goodness. Do we need to serve medicine with communion? I don't know. We need to start doing that. Okay. As you know, we approach scripture contextually. Everybody say context. If we look at this scripture out of context, it's very encouraging. And it is, even in context. But we there's a thing called immediate application. Everybody say immediate application. It's when you take a scripture and say, this scripture means that I anything. This scripture means God is telling me this, that, and the other. Now, here's the deal. When you say God is telling you, what you're saying, when you're saying God is telling you directly, you disrespect the original people in the text. Okay? You disrespect them. In other words, you in essence say, this wasn't about anybody but me, and you monopolize scripture. Okay? You were not living in this time. Okay? That's what I'm saying. You were not there. You didn't know Jeremiah personally. You are not part of Israel. You were not there. So before we can start talking about what it means to me, we need to respect what it means to the people who were there, what it means by the person who's speaking, and what it means by the situation that was going on. All right? So this was written during the time where there was a divided kingdom of Israel. Now, as we said before in lessons before, Israel used to be one nation, right? They left Egypt, they went into the wilderness, they went into Canaan, and they became one nation. They went through the period of the judges. Judges were people who God put over them to kind of govern them. Then they got to a certain point where they saw that other nations had kings. So they said, you know what? We want a king just like everybody else. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you a king. I'm going to give you a king. King Saul. Then they had King David. King Saul messes up. They have King David. They have King Solomon. And then something happens after King Solomon. And that group of people, that nation, it was a nation. I'm not talking about people like what we are in here. It was a nation. People like United States. It was a nation. The nation of Israel. The Israelites were divided. Okay? They split up, okay? Leadership, you know what? Splits often start with leadership. Are you understanding this? So the leadership, and I'm not talking about splits here, but splits here can start with leadership. This is why those of us who are leaders have to stay close to the Lord and one another. Because if the devil is going to divide any group of people, he's going to start at the top. If he's going to divide a family, he's going to start with that man. He's going to start with that mother. He's going to start with that father. Be careful. Be ye not many masters, knowing that ye receive the greater condemnation. So the nation splits, right? You had some of them tribes go down south, two tribes, and they were Judah. And they were Israelites. They were still Israel, but they were the tribes of Judah. Then you went some that went up north. That was Israel, okay? And up north, they worshiped. They had as the capital Samaria. Down south, they had as the capital Jerusalem. Are you all getting this? I know it's history, but be educated, all right? Be educated, right? So watch this. So you have this divided kingdom. And what happens is they start doing some crazy stuff. They start making other gods, which was the problem that God had with them originally. God brought them out of Egypt so that they didn't have to be under other gods, but they drifted back to their familiar sin. As God's people tend to do, we have a tendency to drift back to our familiar sin. Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about? To drift back to the sin that we used to do without thinking twice. Our comfort zone sin. Their comfort zone sin was idolatry. And God got angry with them and he warned them. So when you see the prophets, he'd send the prophets to warn them and to let them know God's not happy with you. God is not happy with you. This is not right. God is going to judge you. God is going to correct this. You better do what's right. Put away the idols. Put away the false gods. You need to serve God. You need to remember the God that brought you out of Egypt. Over and over and over and over and over again, he told Israel, he told Judah, and the prophets told Judah, and eventually God got fed up, because you do know that even God gets to a point where he gets fed up, where his wrath gets full. It isn't like human indignation where when you know you internalize and internalize and internalize, next thing you go upside somebody's head and you know everybody's wondering why are you doing. No, it isn't like that. It's God tolerating and tolerating and tolerating and doing everything he could so that his people could turn around and turn back to him. So this is what he did. He used his goodness. And God says, okay, I'm going to be good to you. And I'm going to be good to you so that you can come back to me. Well, they ignored his goodness. Now watch this. He used his discipline. And he said, okay, I'm going to discipline you, and I'm disciplining you so that you can come back to you. They ignored it, they ignored it, they ignored it. Then you get to this point where God says, okay, since you love bondage so much, since you worshiping other gods, gods that once had you in bondage, or people that once, I'm going to give you over and let the people you love so much rule over you. So when we get to Jeremiah chapter 29, God is talking to Israel, to Judah, which is the ones down south, because the ones up north, they just get lost. They get overtaken by Assyria. It was a mess. You should have been there. They just get tossed all over. But now God says, I'm going to deliver you to Babylon. Everybody say Babylon. Babylon. Now we get to the practical stuff. So God in this text tells Jeremiah, I want you to send a letter, and the Babylonian captivity starts. And God starts in Jerusalem. Babylon comes to the capital city of Judah, which is Jerusalem, which is church for them, and gets them out of church and takes them to Babylon. He separates mothers and fathers. They separate children from parents, and they go into captivity. And now they're no longer free because they didn't appreciate God in their freedom. Oh, if I had time, I'd tell you. They didn't appreciate God in their freedom. They didn't honor God in their freedom. So God says, I'm going to give you over to Babylonian captivity, and it begins. Now watch the verse. I want you to look at verse number 4. Okay? We can get to number 11, but I want you to understand. We'll get to number 11. Verse number 4 says what?
Thus said the Lord of hosts.
Thus said the Lord of hosts. Read.
The God of Israel.
God of Israel.
To all that carried away the captives.
To all the exiles whom I've... So it had already started. Some of them already got sent to Babylon. Because it's funny, when we're free, we don't appreciate freedom. Oh, God, let's get practical now. You want practical application? I know you're saying, I don't want to talk about Babylon. What does that have to do with me? When God sets you free from something, appreciate that freedom, because when God delivers you out and you don't appreciate it, God says, I want you to come back to me so much that I'll deliver you back in so that you can call for me. So he delivers them back into bondage. Bondage is in their history. Captivity is in their history. And God says, okay, to the ones that I've sent, read. This is what I want you to say. Read.
Whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem.
Whom what?
I've caused to watch be this. Carried away.
Listen, watch the text. God said, I set that up. We need to stop calling everything the devil. This was not the devil. This was not, the devil, ain't nobody mad at but the devil. You know, the devil is a lie. You know how we get sacrilegious, pious, and we say, the devil is a lie. Some of the stuff we got going on in our life, it wasn't the devil. It was God saying, okay, I tried everything to get through to you. So what I'm going to do is since I am a deliverer, understand that I can deliver you out. Or I can deliver you in. Be careful and listen to the words we sing. We say, our God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. And then we go through a litany of things that God is. God is a savior. God is protector. God is deliverer, right? Remember that his deliverance is a deliverance that swings in both directions. He can deliver you out, or he can deliver you in, depending on his will and your disposition. He says, I set Babylon up. So this is what you tell those exiles. Read.
Whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon.
Okay, to be carried away from your home unto Babylon. This is what I want you to say. Here's point number one. Watch this. Read.
Build ye houses.
Watch this. We're going to get practical. Everybody write this down. When you are in your rut, your captivity, your Babylon, because all of us have a Babylon. Number one, be productive. Babylon was not where they wanted to be. Babylon was not home for them. It was not a comfortable situation. It was not a situation that they would have chosen. They were captive. Their home was Jerusalem, but now they were in another land, and another land that wasn't their land. There was a people over them that wasn't their people. They were in an uncomfortable situation. It wasn't where they wanted to be. It wasn't what they dreamed of. It wasn't where they called home. But God says, since I put you there, don't be in that situation and do nothing. God says, be productive. That's weird, because it seems like God would only tell us to be productive, or tell them to be productive, when they were in their situation. But God is telling them, while you are captives, to be productive
and multiply, because you will gain strength not in your freedom, but in your captivity. You will become powerful in your captivity, not in your freedom. Can't you remember the children of Israel before? When did they become a nation? They didn't become a nation when they went into Egypt as the family of Jacob. They became a nation while they were slaves to Egypt, and they got to building, and they got to multiplying, and they got to having babies. And when the time was right and God sent Moses, they went in families and came out a nation. When God has you in a fix, and when you're in a place you don't want to be, when you're in a place in your life you don't want to be in, when you feel stuck, when you feel stagnant, when you feel immobilized, don't just sit there and complain and mope and gripe and bicker. God says, if you're going to be there and I got you there, while you are there, be productive. One of the things that some teachers do when they set children aside who are disobedient is they give them work to do. They don't just set them aside and tell them, okay, you just sit here. Do some work. Here's some work to do. Because even in the places that we don't want to be, God says, I love you so much that even while you're there, I want you to be productive and to multiply, so that when you come out, you look different from when you went in. I need to talk to your hearts. Because some of us, when we get in a rut, do nothing. And that's why some of us are in the rut we are in. And I'm not talking about a rut, just a circumstance. I'm talking about when God's hand of discipline is on you. And you know that where you are now, part of where you are now, is due to some of the things that you have done and in some of the ways you've ignored God. God is saying to us today what he said to his people. While you're in that fix, be productive. You made a mistake. Okay, you fell short of the glory of God. Don't just sit there and be a captive. Don't just sit there and mope. Don't just sit there and have pity parties and invite different people to your pity parties. Be productive, multiply, grow, get stronger. What do you mean get stronger? Get stronger in a place where you don't want to be. In a situation you don't want to be in. God says, be productive. Turn to somebody and say, be productive. I don't care if you did get fired. I don't care if you did get fired on your job. Don't just go home, sit in front of the TV and watch talk show after talk show after talk show, then reality show after reality show after reality show. Be productive. Get online. Google how to be an entrepreneur. Find out what you need to find out. Enroll in school. Don't just stay there. And when you're not chained up, you're captive. You're not a prisoner. You're just in abundance. You're in a temporary fix. Be productive. Oh God, we tried to move a few years ago, and the bishops here and some of you who were there here then know that we tried to move a few years ago, and it didn't work out for several reasons. It just didn't work out, and there was a spirit of lethargy that started coming, that spirit that makes it feel like you're stuck. Am I talking to somebody in here? Have you ever been in a place where you just feel stuck and you feel like none of your efforts count? Have you ever been in a place in your life where it feels like it does not matter what you do? It's not going to get better. I pray it ain't going to get better. I'm trying to do this. It ain't going to get better. So I might as well just sit here and just be here and do nothing. God says, I don't want you to do that. I want you in this place where you are not comfortable, that you can't quite call home. Be productive. Watch this. He says, even plant. Look at the text. Continue to read.
And dwell in them and plant gardens and eat.
Build houses. Now, there are two things God is saying. Number one, God is saying, you're going to be here a while.
when we tried to move young sister a few years ago, you know, a lot of us got discouraged. It's very discouraging when you're right there and you're missing. It can make you feel like that's it. Then you start writing on God's page. And you put punctuation where God didn't put punctuation. Is there anybody that's ever put a period where God didn't put a period? And we got discouraged. And then we came out of that. And we said, well, if this is it, if we stuck here, if this is not where we want to be and we just missed it, then what we're going to do is we're going to work like this is where we're going to be forever. Started doing renovations. What you see now is not the mountain view that was a few years ago. We said, well, if we can't be where we want to be, we'll fix up where we are. And don't you know, when you have that kind of spirit where you say, Lord, I refuse to be in the rut. Yeah, I'm not where I want to be, but I still got God on my side. And I'll turn where I am into where I wish I was until God decides it's time to move. Has anybody ever had to make a house out of an apartment? Anybody have to take tuna fish and mix tuna fish with noodles and throw some cheese in there and call it gourmet? God said, don't stay in the rut. Build houses. You're going to be here a while. And then don't, watch this, don't stay away from each other. Get together and start having babies. This was the pattern that Israel followed in order to be great. This is how and exactly what they did in Egypt. That's what they did in Egypt when they were slaves. God doesn't make people great in great situations. He makes you great in situations you don't want to be in. My own life. And on that dialysis for 2 years, and I was a mess. Right, Sister Christy? She was one of my nurses I used to cry to and fuss at and be angry at and cry about and cry on and talk about, and she'd stick me in the arm and I'm crying and boo-hooing and stuff like that. I wrote a whole book while I was on dialysis. Because these uncomfortable situations slow us down. Babylon will slow you down. And when God's hand and discipline is on you, he's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to make you better and bring you back to him. But sometimes we have such built up momentum from our agenda that God has to put his foot in our plan to slow us down enough to tell us, look, pay attention to me. So what? He tells them, be productive. He says, build houses. Read.
Take ye wives,
uh-huh,
and sons,
uh-huh,
and daughters,
and daughters,
and take wives. Watch this. For your
build son. Houses and your families. Get real estate. But this is not Jerusalem. You put your name in Jerusalem. The temple is in Jerusalem. He says, nah, you know what? Settle down. We have in the religious world, in the charismatic religious world, and I'm not talking about particular churches, I'm talking about particular personalities, charismatic personalities that will try to talk you out of where you're supposed to be. Positive thinking, religious talk. Yeah. Don't claim it. If God wants you there, it don't matter if you claim it or not. If this is going to be your address, you can call it somewhere else. It's still the same place. I'm not claiming this, but you're still living it. Now, you remember good times? You remember good times, Florida and them? And I don't know if they ever got out of there. But they had to make Capernaum Green, where they lived, the environment of wherever else they were trying to be. And you know what? I think James died, didn't even see it. Did James die? I think that's when Florida said.
Okay. Let me stop.
Let me stop. Get back to the text. There's a generation here that don't know what I'm talking about. What's that channel that they need to go to? TV Land. Go to TV Land and look at your heritage. Okay, we having a good time in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at what he says. Now watch this. He says, be productive. Now watch this. Then he says, watch this.
And give your daughters to husbands.
Uh-huh. We read that. Read.
That they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may increase there and not diminish.
Watch what he says. So that you may increase. Where? There. That you may increase in the place you don't want to be. There. Not in Jerusalem. I meant for you to be in Babylon. And while you are there, multiply. Watch this. Don't become discouraged that you become stagnant and do nothing. When you don't get the job you wanted to get and you end up someplace you don't want to be productive. Don't come in late because this is not the job you want. Don't call in sick when you're not, because this is not the job you really want. Keep your work ethic, because your work ethic is not only valuable to you where you don't want to be, but it's valuable to you when I move you. And the habits that you and I develop in Babylon are the habits that we will take once we're delivered. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Whatever habit you develop when you're in places you don't want to be is what you're going to have when God brings you out. And if God brings you out and you're worse than you were when you went in, then that deliverance, well, it's not profitable for you to get out. Multiply so that you can increase there. Now watch this. Then he talks about the attitude they should have about where they are. Read.
And seek the peace of the city.
Whoa, wait a minute. Seek the welfare or the peace of the city where I have sent you to exile. What is he saying? He's saying, pray for them. Pray for them. But Lord, this is not your city. Your city's Jerusalem. They took us from Jerusalem, and now we're somewhere we don't want to be. We're in a situation we don't want to be in, and you're telling us, not only are you telling us to settle down, but you're telling us to pray for them? Why is he telling them to pray for them? Read the text.
And pray unto the Lord for it.
Uh-huh.
For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace.
You pray for the peace of Babylon so that you can have peace. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Remember Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2? He said, I would that prayer and supplication be made for all men, for magistrates and kings. That's why when the city is haywire because of police brutality and the country is haywire because who became president, or the state is haywire because who became governor, we don't sit there and mope and complain and just simply talk about what we're disgruntled about. Pray, because how they are taken care of will be how we are taken care of. God told Israel, now that you're in Babylon, you're not where you want to be, don't become bitter, which is number two. After you become productive, number two, don't become bitter when you're not where you want to be. Pray. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because if it's well with them, it's well with you. How many of you see that in the text? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, now, finally, now watch this. We haven't even gotten to verse 11. What you're learning now is you're learning what's called the context. So that when you quote this scripture, you know, God says he knows the plans that he has for me, you know what you're talking about. And you might have to use it differently after you read this and understand it.
Watch the text. Read.
For thus said the Lord, host of hosts.
Read.
The God of Israel.
Uh-huh.
Let not your prophets and your diviners.
Now what is he saying? He's saying, now watch this. It's getting close. When the children of Israel were moved out of Jerusalem into Babylonian captivity, their false prophets arise to give them false hope. They would say things like, they would say things and make prophecies about them in their present condition and their present crisis. And based on the context, we know they were saying something relating to their captivity. Because when we are in situations we don't want to be, we become vulnerable to things that sound hopeful, even if they're not true.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you're in a situation or place or predicament or circumstance you don't want to be in, you become vulnerable to voices that make you feel hopeful. But even when you are not where you want to be, you have to remember that at the end of the day, it's not what hopeful voices says, it's what God says. And if you're not careful, you'll subscribe to people's false prophecies about your situations because you so desperately want to be out of the situation you're in that, okay, here's an example of it. When you go internet crazy over a sickness, okay, you find out they have diabetes. You have diabetes. Oh, it's traumatized. I got diabetes. Oh, you start exaggerating in your mind. Oh, that means I seen Brother Kendrick and he had diabetes and he's up there with the big boot every Sunday and they had to do this and do so. Oh, this person died from diabetes. Oh, so you get on Google and now you taking insulin and you taking this leaf and that root. You going to the health food store, you sound like a box of Tic Tacs when you walk by because you got all kinds of supplements on in you and you've got this thing that wasn't approved by the FDA and you say, well, if you drink two cups of green tea twice a day, you'll get rid of your diabetes. Okay, that's not touching you. What about those of you that have been trying to lose weight like myself? You so desperately want to hear a voice that say you can drop 20 pounds in 10 days. You eating boiled eggs every day. You drinking apple cider vinegar. You drinking lemon juice. You putting cayenne pepper on your peanut butter and jelly. Because you are so desperate to be in a different situation that you become vulnerable to any voice that makes you feel hopeful to get out of the situation. The children of Israel were in a situation. God led them to exile. So their false prophets were starting to pop up. And they were starting to give false hope. Because the false prophet gives false hope to people who are desperate for hope. So look what God says. Oh, it's about to hit you in your verse 11 is going to hit you like this. Why he says what he says. Read.
For thus says the Lord of hosts.
No, go back to the false prophets. Read.
Let not the prophets and your dividers be in the midst of you.
Now this is from God. What God is saying. I gave you Babylon. I set that up. I put you in this divine timeout. The devil didn't do this. I did it. Don't let your false prophets read.
Neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed.
Do not listen to the people who say, I got a vision about you. This is what God is telling Israel. Stop pursuing false hope in a desperate attempt to get away from what I'm telling you is going to happen. Now, that worked with people. I remember growing up, and I'm almost done. I remember growing up, there was this old brother in the church, Sister Twyman. His name was Brother Isaac Edmond. Every church has an old brother.
You know, that old brother that got the candy in the pocket, looked like he done sucked on it already. I was a kid. I took it anyway. I took it anyway. Don't judge me. I took it anyway. Yeah, walk by you, give you a dollar. Hey, you kind of look like you, Brother Chambers, you know. Just... So Isaac Edman, every now and then, you know, when I get in trouble, I go to Isaac Edman. And I look sorrowful in the face when I was supposed to get a whipping when I got home. So I stand in front of Isaac Edman. I used to do the offering, pass the offering basket. I stand. That camera got my face? Look, get my face. Got my face? Okay, so Isaac Edman knew me so well. He said, what's wrong? What's wrong, son? And I say, I'm in trouble. What? I'm in trouble. And before service was over, Isaac Edman would have a conversation with my father and would tell me, before I left, I'm still thinking I'm in trouble. You're going to be all right. I loved Isaac Edman. He saved me from a bunch of whippings, right? There are no Isaac Edmans with God. If God wants you in a situation, nobody can pray you out of it. Nobody can prophesy you out of it. Nobody can say, oh, I had a dream. Says, don't claim that. No, God told Israel, don't listen to those false prophets. Don't listen to these people that say they have visions and dreams concerning you. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Look at the next verse.
For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name.
Because they prophesy falsely to you in my name. But look what God says.
I have not sent
them. I didn't send them.
Said the Lord.
Stop looking for an alternative to what I said. Stop looking for another voice to tell you something different from what I said. Stop looking for an Isaac Edman to tell you you're going to be all right. Because I'm telling you what's going to happen. And in the next verse, he says what?
For thus saith the Lord. After 70 years.
This is how long you're going to be there. This is why you need to build houses. This is why you need to multiply. This is why you need to plant. And this is why you need to settle. Because 70 years, when it's been completed for Babylon, I will come to you again and I'll bring you out. Now watch this. When you are somewhere you don't want to be, in a situation in life you don't want to be, you looking for a voice to tell you, oh, you coming out of this thing next week. God is saying, don't listen to them. 70 years. You're not going to get out of this situation in Babylon for at least two generations. This is going to cost you 70 years, but I'm not against you. I am not your enemy, but this is going to cost you 70 years of being in Babylonian captivity. Stop looking for other voices to give you other verdicts. I'm the judge. I didn't send them. They're telling you this and they're telling you that. You're going to be there for 70 years. And after 70 years, I'm going to come visit you again and I'm going to bring you out. Stop listening to voices who are telling you and speaking on my behalf, telling you what my thoughts are. I know the thoughts I have for you. You see this? You see how it runs right into verse 11? I know the plans I have for you. I don't need somebody else to give you a different set of plans. I'm telling you what my plans are. And he says, I know the thoughts. In other words, I'm thinking about you. It's going to be 70 years. You're going to feel like I've forgotten you. You're going to feel like I've forsaken you. But I'm thinking about you. And I'm thinking about you for peace and not calamity, for hope and for a future. Don't get discouraged when you've been in a place that you've been so long that you feel like God left
you out or forsook you. God is saying, I don't care how long you've been in it, I'm thinking about you and I have not forgotten you. And you coming out. Amen. But you coming out when I say you coming out. And not until I say you're coming out. So settle down. Settle down. Brother Hamilton, you don't understand. They took my car. I'm about to foreclose on my house. They laying people off. Sometimes it's not your own doing. Sometimes it's God doing. Sometimes God just has you there. Sometimes he's disciplining you. And sometimes he's saying, settle down. Now, while you're doing this, while you're at home, without a job, be productive. Learn a craft. Network. Work at the church. Amen. Come on up to the church and volunteer. I'm looking for a job. No, you ain't looking for a job every day. Come on up to Super Thursday. Amen. Come help with the senior citizens. Amen. Be productive. Settle down. You're going to be here a while.
Amen.
But to show you that I'm not destroying you, I'm disciplining you to show you that you're going to get stronger without a job. You're going to get wiser without a job. You're going to get more intelligent without a job. You're going to get fatter without a job. Plant. You're going to eat like you never ate before without a job. And don't think I've forgotten you. Don't go looking for somebody to tell you something other than what I said. Let me tell you something in counseling. I try to tell people all the time what God says. And sometimes people will come to you, and when you say what God says, they'll look for somebody else to tell them something different. They'll look for somebody with a different dream. They'll look for somebody with a different vision. They'll look for somebody with a different message. But if we're saying what God says today, I know the thoughts I have for you. But don't be discouraged, because the thoughts I have for you are thoughts of peace, thoughts of prosperity, thoughts of hope for the future. And Mountain View, when we missed the opportunity the last time, we had to buckle down, be productive, still show up, still do ministry, still work out what I've worked in, still tell people about Jesus, still teach and still preach. You are not your situation. You're just in one. I said, you are not your situation. You're just in it. Don't change anything about your commitment. Still ask for the old paths and the ways of salvation. Still seek me. Now watch this. He says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I'm going to change this. I'm going to bring you out of this. Now watch this. Then you will seek me. And you'll find me. You'll pray to me and I'll answer. But you got to accept where you are. And know that no matter how much it seems like I forgot you, I know the thoughts I have for you. When I was sick, man. Visits were kind. Visits were nice. I didn't want to be visited. Because who wants to be visited when you want to get out? I was tired of having visitors. I wanted to visit some people.
Let's just be honest in here. I mean, the hospital food is good at first. Then people come in with Popeyes and smelling all good, and I got to eat Jell-O and hot soup with nothing in it. Nothing soup. Is there a witness that ever had nothing soup? You got to psych yourself up. Oh, this is good. I'm lying. You do everything short of signing yourself out AMA against medical advice. But even that healing didn't come at my time. God was saying, relax. I know the thoughts. I know the thoughts I have for you. Relax. Drink the broth. Have you ever been in a place of sadness and you just want change? Now, Lord, I'm tired of being in this situation. I'm tired of talking to people and everybody around me seems to have it better than me. I'm tired of struggling and straining and scratching just to make ends meet, working two jobs, working three jobs. I'm tired of going to funerals. I haven't finished crying from the last one, and here comes another one, Lord. I am tired. God says, settle down. I'm thinking about you. And I'm thinking about you for peace. And I'm thinking about you not for calamity, which means you coming out of this. Turn to somebody and say, I'm coming out of this. When God says so. You didn't repeat that second part. Let's do this again. Let's do this. We're coming out of this. When God says so. I'm coming out tomorrow. I'll make my compromises. Turn to somebody and say, I'm coming out of this when God says so. He was thinking about us when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. When they nailed his hands, God was thinking about us. When they nailed his feet, he was thinking about us. He was thinking about us when he stood before the hall of Pilate. When they planted a crown of thorns and placed it on his head, God was thinking about us, for he was wounded for our what? And bruised for our what? That means when Jesus was dying on the cross, God was thinking about you. He was thinking about me. And when Jesus was put in the tomb, God was thinking about me and you. And when he got up, he was thinking about us so that you can come to him and have peace by way of the Prince of Peace. Stand to your feet. The lesson is yours. God is thinking about you. But the question is, are you thinking about God? Now, when you see, I know the plans I have for you. Now you can think of it in context of nobody else's well wishes can interrupt or replace God's plans and his thoughts for us. He's saying, I know it's been a long time and you think that I'm paying attention to everybody else but not you. He says, no, I know the plans I have for you. Stop listening to other people who wish you well, who look at a fortune cookie and tell you, you know what? In 2 weeks, they're not going to find anything. Stop being vulnerable because you're looking for an alternative to the word of the Lord. Trust God even when you're in the Babylon. And eventually, because Babylon is not where he wants you, he's coming and he will visit you. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we invite you to come. We'd like to talk to you about your salvation. If you're here and you're looking for a church home, you want to begin your discipleship journey here at Mountain View Church, we welcome that. We're not perfect people, but we serve a perfect Savior. come and begin your discipleship journey with us right now. Do it now as together we sing.